In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning, brothers and sisters, on this fourth Sunday of Great Lent. And this is the Sunday of St. John of the Ladder, St. John Climacus. He was a saint that lived in the 6th and 7th centuries and wrote the book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent. The first gospel for this Sunday about this healing of the boy that had the demon comes right after Christ had revealed his heavenly glory to Peter, James, and John up on the in his transfiguration on Mount Tabor. And so when they came down, they encountered the father of this boy who had asked the disciples to heal him, but they were unable to do this even though Christ had given them the authority to cast out demons. And the Father reveals a very weak faith when he asks Christ, "If thou canst do anything, please heal my son." Now there were others in the Gospels who had much greater faith in Christ, like for example the centurion who believed that if Christ just spoke the word that his servant would be healed, didn't even need him to come to his house. Or the woman with the issue of blood, she just believed that if she could just touch the hem of his garment that she would be healed. And so this man, I mean, he was there with all these people and the disciples, so he had heard about all the different miracles that Christ had accomplished. And still he was not sure that Christ could help him at all. And yet, in his desperation, he still asked for Christ's help. And when Christ responds, "All things are possible to him who believes," you know, the Holy Fathers say that Christ kind of sent a spark out, you know, to encourage this man. And then he kind of caught fire, and then he suddenly bursts out in tears and repents of his weak faith and unbelief and sincerely asks Christ, "Lord, help thou mine unbelief." And now the Lord casts out the demon and then the boy is healed. Well, it's a little hard to understand why the father had such difficulty believing that Christ could help him, especially when he'd witnessed probably other miracles and certainly heard of them. And yet, even if we look at ourselves a little more closely, most of us would have to admit that our faith is not always as strong as it should be. You know, maybe there was a time in our lives when we prayed about some need that we had, and it didn't seem like God answered our prayer in just the way that we hoped for or in the time frame that we expected. And so maybe we began to doubt a little bit whether he really did hear our prayer. And yet, while this father of the possessed boy shows us an image of weak faith, he also shows us an example of repentance and humility. He was willing to confess, that is, repent of his weak faith. You know, he said, "Lord, help thou mine unbelief." So he wasn't embarrassed. He just said, I have weak faith, so help me, you know. And he was humble enough to ask for Christ's help. And so Christ heals the possessed boy. And later when the disciples asked why they could not cast out the devil, the Lord tells them that it was because of their unbelief, but also adds, "Nevertheless, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting." So even if we have weak faith, we're in good company. Even the disciples had weak faith. You know, pretty much everybody has weak faith. But as Christ said, even a faith as a grain of mustard seed can grow into a great thing. Father Maximus Custis, who's a theologian who also lived on Mount Athos for a time and wrote about the saint, St. Maximus the Confessor, once had this to say about faith. He says, "When we have this faith within us, God gives us even greater faith. That's when we move from that first faith, which is that simple sort of, I believe in God, I guess, to a kind of faith that is something deeper, a living relationship of trust with God, a living experience of God, an existential fact or reality of one's life. Indeed, the very entry of God into our consciousness in a real or concrete way. This is the kind of faith that St. Maximus the Confessor and actually all the saints had." So in order for us to have stronger faith in God, the Lord gave us the spiritual practices of prayer and fasting, which are referenced in this gospel today. This father with weak faith nevertheless provides us with an image of prayer that is effective and powerful because he prays to Christ, that is, you know, he asks for Christ's help. And he prays with tears of repentance and humility. And this is really a powerful image of prayer. You know, we can read prayers, that's good, you know, but they're sort of bodily prayers, you know, as the fathers say. But real spiritual prayer is the goal, where we actually are communicating with God, and we actually find ourselves drawing closer to God in a place of inspiration at times, or in a peaceful state, or these kinds of things. Concerning our fasting, Father Milorad Lonchar once pointed out that there are two kinds of fasting. There's physical fasting, and then there's spiritual fasting. He says that physical fasting is, of course, the dietary constraints, not eating meat or dairy products. But he says that spiritual fasting is when we are careful about what we say or think. He says that even if we manage to keep the fast physically, it won't help us very much if we have bad thoughts about other people, or gossip, or behave in an abusive way, or commit any other transgression by word or deed or thought. So our fasting and our prayer needs to be both bodily, yes, as the first step, but also it needs to elevate to a higher level of spiritual fasting and spiritual prayer. Now the gospel today that's in honor of St. John Climacus includes the Beatitude verses that we sing each week at the Divine Liturgy. And of course, this is from the Sermon on the Mount. These few simple instructions form the basis for the book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, which is that great spiritual classic. The Ladder of Divine Ascent is a powerful image for us because it shows how acquiring virtue is an active process, not a passive one. No one can ascend from earth to heaven just by watching others climb the ladder or just by thinking about it. Each of us must make the effort to climb the steps in order to receive God's blessing. We are called to be poor in spirit, in other words, humble, to mourn, that is, to mourn over our sins and to repent, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to practice meekness, mercifulness, purity of heart, and to make peace with everyone by forgiving and asking forgiveness, and to endure struggles, knowing that these are needed in order for us to grow stronger spiritually. And so we see on the icon today, on the Analogion, there's this ladder, and all these Christians are climbing up this ladder. And then what else we see on there is that little demons are trying to tempt those who are climbing up. And in some cases, people fall, and then they miss the point. So this ladder is a great image because we kind of climb to heaven, as it were, on the ladder of these virtues, by acquiring these virtues and struggling against the passions. St. John Climacus himself wrote at the end of his book, The Ladder, "Ascend, brothers, ascend eagerly, and be resolved in your hearts to ascend and hear him who says, 'Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God, who makes our feet like hinds' feet and sets us on high places, that we may be victorious with his song. Run, I beseech you, with him who said, let us hasten until we attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, who, when he was baptized in the 30th year of his visible age, attained the 30th step in the spiritual ladder, since God is indeed love, to whom be praise, dominion, power, and in whom is and was and will be the cause of all goodness throughout infinite ages. Amen." So brothers and sisters, we have just only 2 short weeks left in the Lenten season. And let's use then this remaining time that we have to draw closer to Christ through prayer and fasting and doing good deeds. If you haven't done any good deeds yet, now's a good time to do them, the next 2 weeks. Confessing, making time for spiritual reading. And just as the spring is the season to plant crops and gardens, so we need to plant spiritual seeds so that we might have a good harvest and enter into the joy of the resurrection at Holy Pascha. Glory be to our God.